Following is an at-will presentation.
Welcome to The Drop-In. This is Season 2, Episode 4, with my friend, actor Jordan Masterson. The name Masterson may sound familiar to you, probably because of Jordan. But if not Jordan, he has two other brothers and a sister who are all actors as well. And that name runs pretty deep in Hollywood these days. I'm so happy to have had him. He, if you don't know who he is, which is crazy if you don't, but if you don't, he's on the show Last Man Standing with none other than Tim Allen. I kind of want to do like a Tim Allen impression or something from Home Improvement. What does he do like?
Ho, 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 ho.
Anyways, it's not Home Improvement. It's Last Man Standing, and it's on CBS. Check him out. So here it is, my interview with Jordan Masterson. Have you ever been in like a fight?
Yeah.
When's the last time?
Because
you said
shit.
Yeah. You said yeah, kind of like, yeah, I've been, like, of course, I've been in like a few.
Yeah, I've been in a few fights.
Like, how many are we talking about?
Probably like four or five.
Four or five fights?
Yeah.
Like, do you kind of like stretch them out every 2 years?
Yeah.
Is like, you're due?
Yeah, I try to get it in at least like once, you know, every decade or two.
You know? Okay. So when's the last one?
The last one.
You're like, what time is it right now?
Shit, I don't know. It's been a while. I got jumped. Maybe the last time I got jumped was like.
The last time you got jumped?
Yeah,
so you've also been jumped multiple times?
I've been jumped twice.
What, do you have like a bullseye in your back?
No, I have no idea. We got jumped. I got jumped in LA and I got jumped here outside a bungalow.
Okay. Tell me stories.
So we were walking into Bungalow 8 when it still existed. And you remember Amin?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he.
You have to explain who he is.
Okay. Amin is. He was the door guy at Bungalow who is like a notorious cock.
Yeah.
He was a fucking asshole.
Infamous for saying no.
Always. No matter what. Just always being a dick.
Yeah. You're like.
So. Right. But anyway, so my brother and him were friendly or whatever. So we were walking in to sit, and Amin walks in to like clear a table for us to sit at. And he pushes one of our friends, like, hey, like, get out of the way.
Didn't know that he was with you guys?
Didn't know that he was with us. And our friend, Brighton, didn't know that he was, like, going to clear a table for us. So walks in, pushes Brighton. Brighton goes, you don't fucking push me. And Amin turns around and to sort of be like, what the fuck did you say? Like that? And without even hesitation, Brighton just blasts him. He like hits him right across the face.
And you have to describe, he's a relatively big guy.
He's not a small guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Brighton is not a big guy. Brighton was like 5'10".
Four,
yeah,
three.
Like, yeah, like not, but like doesn't look like a dude, but he loved to fight all the time.
Scrap, yeah.
And
okay.
Had like a crazy right hand and would just hit people all the time. It right. Was like his
when in doubt, that was his go-to.
Always. Bam. He was like, I always hit first. If you like start talking shit, I'm just going to hit you because there's no – I don't want to sit here and talk about it for like five minutes.
Even if you're fake talking shit,
yeah.
I'm still going to do it.
Even if you were like, yo, can I get you something to eat? Like he might just hit you. Like
you
out of
don't
nowhere.
Know.
You have no idea. So Amin gets knocked to the ground and I was like, oh, shit. Because Danny is like 15 feet in front of me. He's like smoking or talking to somebody.
Didn't see it happen.
So do you remember Disco?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Disco also, I should explain, is like
7'3". Massive,
and
dude.
Like 300 pounds.
But like a legendary like doorman slash
bouncer.
Security guard.
Yeah. Like a dude you would never ever fuck with. And wait, can we swear on this?
Okay. Too late.
Yeah, too late. Shit. So Disco comes in and he grabs Brighton and he's like, hey, well, we gotta go outside and talk. And Brighton was like, oh yeah, cool. Some guy just like pushed me, so I hit him, sorry. Like not realizing that Disco works for Amin, basically. And so he's like, yeah, no, it's cool. Just come outside and we'll talk about it. He's got, you know, like whatever. So like Brighton like stupidly walks out with him. And I look at Danny, I was like, oh, Danny, Brighton just got taken out of here by Disco, and he was like, what? So we walk outside, and Disco has Brighton in a headlock, pushed up against a car, and Amin is wailing on him.
No.
Like, just going to town on his face. And so Danny walks out, and he's like, yo, stop. Like, what the fuck's going on? He stops. Amin's like, yo, what do you, like, I'm beating the shit out of this guy. He's like, yeah, that's my friend.
He's like, yo, and yo, he's yo, like, give me a second while I beat the shit out of someone.
Yeah, he's like, well, your friend just hit me. And he was like, what? And so everything stops for like 5 seconds. And then Disco lets him out of the headlock. And Brighton, like, kind of stupidly is super angry. All he sees red. He hits Amin again in the face. And then all of a sudden, there's like three dudes behind us and three dudes in front of us. And it's
and now
me,
everyone's
Danny,
getting beat.
Yeah, Brighton and someone else. And we're like just getting jumped. Like, dude, just like I get punched by the biggest dude I've ever seen. Like, square in the face. I don't remember it. Because I snapped out of it for a second and came back and was like, whoa, what happened? And then my fucking face swole up and it was like, oh, God. And just melee into the streets, trying to get people off each other. You know, it was like a full-blown jump for like,
random
I don't
know, dudes were jumping in just
fully
to get a quick swing in.
Yeah. It was like people yelling from the rooftops, like West Side Story or something like that. Like people just like running down to get in, like get a couple kicks in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that sucked. That was a bad
How
one.
Old were you?
I was in my early 20s. So, yeah, or maybe 20, something like that. So, it was a while ago. It was like 10 years ago. I got jumped in LA like 5 years ago.
Okay, let's hear.
Walking down an alley at like Saturday at like 2 in the morning.
And Disco just pops around
Disco
the corner.
Disco and Amin were like, yo, where's that dude? Yeah. No,
this
yeah.
is the 5-year anniversary. We got you now.
They're like, happy anniversary, bitch. No, we were walking through like an alley and just got jumped by like 20 dudes.
What?
It was like...
Like,
got,
you guys were walking, minding your own business.
Walking. Dude shoves me in the like in the back. And he did one of those things, like, yo, watch where you're going. And I, like, burst into laughter because I was like, wait. I was drunk and sort of didn't really realize what was happening. So Chris went to, like, just check him a little bit, like, put his arm up, like, yo, yo, chill. And then they just started swinging. Like, dudes just – and, like, we could see him down the alley. Like, they were just looking to get into – so, like, didn't steal anything, didn't take just –
just wanted to scrap.
Yeah, and you turn like I'd hit someone and turn around and two guys. And then I was like, oh shit. So I'd hit someone else or hit someone in the headlock and then like somehow ended up on the ground getting and I was getting kicked straight in the face. Like just getting stomped on. And then it stopped like maybe a minute in. And so you know you're like fighting, you're trying to do everything. Like, at this point you have no idea. Like you might hit your own friends because you have no idea what's going on.
You're just swinging to try to like defend yourself.
Trying
at that
to
point.
Get at any point. Yeah. And so after like a minute or two of that and then ending up on the ground getting kicked, it stops and I look up and there's a dude, like an angel, who has – I'm against a wall too so I can't get out. And he has like put his arms – he's a big dude. And he put his arms like out on the wall and was like, yo, stand up. And all I see behind him is like 10 guys. And I was like, no fucking way. He's like, get up right now. I'm not going to hit you. Get up right now. And I was like, oh. And I just somehow trust him, got up, and he walked me down the wall. Like he literally – put his arms on both sides of me while they were like hitting him and trying. He just walked me down.
Why
the wall.
You?
No idea.
You were the prettiest one of the bunch.
Just a sweet angel.
He's like, now you're gonna pay me back, boy.
Yeah. Then it was a rough night for me. Otherwise, but
you had to have a sleepover. But
it was
at
cool.
least you got out of the fight.
Yeah, it was great. He was gentle. It was fun.
Oh man, dude.
Yeah, but not generally given to fighting. I don't know. Like.
Right, that's not – you're not, like, looking for fights, but it just – it's you've been in five and you've gotten jumped twice.
Yeah, I've been – yeah, whatever.
You but, know, like, so after that night, was your face busted up?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, like
– like, pretty bad?
Yeah, I mean, like –
did
like,
you get teeth
no teeth knocked out, thank God. Just, like, fucked up nose, black eyes, bleeding, like – it was not fun.
Like full battle mode.
Oh, yeah. Like, bruises everywhere, ribs and back. And, like, just it sucked. I was, like, 5 or 6 days of just, like, waking up feeling like dog shit.
But it was so worth it.
Yeah, super tight. It was like, fights are always generally really worth it.
You weren't always an actor.
I guess in my adult life, I've always been an actor.
Yeah.
I mean, I started acting when I was like 16 or 17.
What were you doing before that?
Going to school. Just like
studying?
Playing baseball. And yeah, like, I don't know, you know, just.
Regular stuff.
Doing what like kids do.
High school kids do.
Yeah.
And this is where?
I bounced around a lot. I'm from here and then moved to LA.
You wear that badge pride on your on your jacket.
Well, except that now I'm like, I've been
I'm from LA. New York.
Yeah. Yo, like super tough.
I've only been here like 4 weeks in total for the past 25 years, but I'm from here.
But I'm from here. No, I'm like from Long Island. Like I'm not even from
That's not even the good part.
Yeah, like so it's just like I'm from here, but I live in LA now and I've been there 14 years. So I'm basically like my adult life has been in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it's like I'm an Angelino, which sucks.
So where were you in high school?
I was back and forth. I went to boarding school for a couple of years
in
Oregon. And then I went to school in LA for a year before I dropped out.
And boarding school, was that like because that was what everyone was doing? Was that because your parents wanted you to like
learn more? It's something I wanted to do.
Why?
Because it just seemed cool, like independent.
Boarding school for me, I never really understood it because I didn't go.
Yeah.
But like for some, like I feel like some towns, that's like the thing to do. So I guess, or it's like the parents being like, we're sending our kid to boarding school.
Yeah, like you're either going to military school because you were a little shit.
Yeah, because you like screwed up.
Right, or you wanted to go to like some Ivy League Stanford, Yale prep.
Yeah, yeah, as like a prep. Yeah,
some shit.
So, that's not what it was. You wanted to go.
I wanted to go. It was in the middle of nowhere, Oregon, like out between Portland and the coast.
But that's so random. You had friends in high school, right?
I had two. Yeah, but I had two friends who were going there for the summer. And so I went. It was like summer camp. Like basically like, you know, whatever, go and shoot fucking guns and like run around and do
like
whatever.
Grab your first like kiss or something.
Yeah, yeah, like smack a butt or two and like that, whatever. So while we were up there, one of them was like, I think I'm – they like have school here and I think I'm going to try to convince my parents to let me stay. I was like, oh, that sounds awesome because you could do whatever the fuck you wanted, which was super cool.
Like, so that was the goal, to be able to just do what you wanted.
Be super independent. And the school was pretty progressive, which was cool. So it was like not really go at your own pace, but there wasn't curriculum in terms of like you sat in a class and teachers lectured you. It was like you read and did these things. And you, as long as you made like progress by whatever this thing by a certain time, you were fine. You were like weren't ahead or behind or anything like that. You were just doing it at your own pace and studying what you wanted to study.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I quickly learned how much I hated school. Like I just really
you hated school.
Yeah, I mean like doing trig and calculus. I was like, oh, I'm never going to use this ever at all. And then I started going back and forth between there and LA.
And why?
For like auditions, like that's when I really started getting into acting.
How did you know you wanted to get into acting?
Kind of seemed like the only thing I was good at.
So let me ask you a question. Your brother, Danny, has been in it for forever, right?
Yeah, both of them. Danny
and Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Danny, at this point, when you were in high school, what was he doing?
He started doing 70 Show in 2000. So I was 14. So it was like right around then. But he had been working.
Yeah, he'd been doing stuff.
Yeah, he'd been
been successful.
Yeah, he'd done Roseanne for a while and like kind of all these shows. And Chris was the same. And they both got Malcolm in the Middle and Danny got 70 Show the same year, both for Fox.
Right. So then all of a sudden you're like, okay, they're doing it.
Yeah.
They're really doing it for real, and this seems like something that could appeal to me, or were you already feeling like
– I think I was already feeling like there was something that I wanted to do because growing up, they were acting, and I would grow up on sets and run around. I just liked being in that environment, and it was creative, and you had freedom to do sort of whatever you wanted, and there was no sitting behind a desk or 9-to-5 or – I mean, more schooling for that matter. I had grown up traveling and like I lived in Venezuela for a year. I lived in like Malta for a year.
When?
When I was a kid.
Why?
And because Chris was shooting a movie in Malta 1 year. So like we lived there for like 8 months because the family went. Like my mom was never, it was always us together. So no matter what happened, whether we were in Malta or LA or whatever, like we always stayed together. So,
and how is she deciding where the family's going to pick up and move to? What, like, whoever got the better part, you decide.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I think we should be in Malta. We're going with Chris's. Sorry, Danny.
Yeah, sorry, Danny, you're fucked. No, but like, you know, so like we were there in Malta, so Danny would be there for a couple months and he'd go back to New York or LA and like crash with friends for a month or two and sort of, I don't know, it was we grew up pretty independent.
Yeah, that's
while
what it
also
like.
Being together, like it was just always, you know, I've flown across the country, flown to Europe when I was 6 or 7 by myself. Like I had done.
Did you order a cocktail on the?
Yeah.
On the plane.
Gin and tonic. Yeah, that's where my
life is. You've grown out of that now. But yeah. Like now it's vodka soda or something. But
tequila
before,
rocks.
Okay, got it. So you'd always seen it. You had always seen it.
Seen it and knew that it was something that I wanted to do at some point. And then when I started going back and forth for auditions between school and there, and it started to progress and was, you know, I guess I could see that I had some sort of future in it as long as I, you know, worked hard and dedicated myself to that. And that's kind of how it came out. I started working when I was like 16 or 17, doing little things here and there, like four episodes of this show or a year of this or whatever. And then, I mean, I've been doing Last Man Standing for season 6.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's really well. And like that came out of nowhere. It was a show I didn't even really want to do.
And you joined when?
I joined the second season. So it's 5 years ago now. So I was turning 25.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That's like your 20s.
Yeah, I went, they were like, hey, do you want to do this thing? It's 5 episodes. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, cool. It's in LA. Like, nothing shoots in LA anymore. It's right. You have to go to Vancouver or Atlanta or whatever. And 5 turned into 17. And then the next year, they're like, hey, you want to come back and do it again?
Do you want to come back and do 100 episodes?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it just went from what was supposed to be 5 episodes to I've done, you know, 100.
That's why you're here. This is the celebration of the 100th episode.
Yeah, yeah. Centennial.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
And so I'm just wondering, like, your mom through this, was she like, okay, another kid wants to do it, no problem, it's just another, or was she like, Jordan, are you sure you want to do this? Because your brothers have had, you know, tough time.
The way she looked at it was, she said, hey, if that's something you want to do, then you have to put in the time and the effort. Like, there's no not wanting to go to auditions or that kind of, you can't basically slack off.
No complaining or slacking.
Yeah, and she's like, it's really rough. Like, it is a rough thing to be. I mean, it's a pretty absurd what anybody in acting does. Like, the fact that we can get paid to like fuck around all day seems kind of stupid, but the real work comes with the going to 500 auditions and not getting one of them and having someone say like, oh yeah, you're not tall enough or you're not blonde enough or whatever the things are. That, I mean, you have to have a crazy thick skin to do it. And I think that the reason the people make it versus the people who don't are those who are just around. Like, if you work hard enough and stay around for long enough, you will break into something. You might not, you know, be Brad Pitt or whatever, but you can make a living, and it's a really nice way to make a living. You get good hours and you can travel and it's cool.
What's the toughest part about it for you? Or what's the toughest instant for you that you were like, I don't know if this is what I want to do?
I had tested for...
You got to explain what that is.
Okay, so the audition process for most things can be a little brutal. Like, you go in for an audition, so you go and read for, you know, what the casting director or the casting director's assistant in some cases. And then if they like you, they call you back and you go and you read for a producer or the writer. And then if they like you again, you go back and read for some more producers and other writers or whatever. And then for TV, they have something called testing, which is essentially
They test you for AIDS and
exactly.
Other
STDs. They take blood and make sure that you're healthy. And no, they they make you read. They make you like sit in a room with one or two other people, and you sign the contract for the show you're going to do, which is 7 years always. And it shows you how much money you're going to be making if the show gets picked up. And then they walk you into a room in front of 25 or 30 people who could really care less like what you're doing there. They don't give a shit.
Right.
And you do that twice.
Playing Candy Crush on your phones.
I am not joking. I've seen people like just texting and doing shit in the middle of it's crazy.
You're like bringing it. You're just like putting it all out there, and someone's just.
Guys, like, I ordered CPK for lunch, and like, I want my barbecue chicken salad.
Where is it? Like,
fully.
Like, it's on Postmates.
Yeah, like, or they, when this was back in like BlackBerry days. So like, there was what's it called? With
BlackBerry
the
Messenger, dude.
No, yeah, but also, like, what was that game you played that everyone played, like, Pong, but it wasn't Pong? Like, Brick Breaker.
Yeah, Brick Breaker.
Yeah, so fully playing Brick Breaker. And so you do that once, and then the next day you go in and you do it for, like, 50 people. And
so that's like, so then even more people are playing Brick Breaker in that room.
It's just like crazy games going on. Yeah. And so I had done that. It's a grueling, horrible thing because then it's down to you and one other person.
Right.
And you know, you're
one man and or two men enter, one man leave.
One man leave. Yeah. Sometimes they make you fight it out.
Yeah.
Which
like,
is
here's
where
one
the,
stick.
Yeah. It's
like
where the experience comes
from,
in handy.
The scene from Batman.
Oh, yeah. When he like breaks it in half and he's like, you guys fight each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
That would be a good test of character. At
least. I mean, you know that someone really wants it. Someone's like willing to die.
You've
for
been in five fights.
Yeah.
You've been in five fights. You'd actually.
I had a leg up.
You could handle yourself in that situation. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd done that 20 times before I had gotten
that
this
process.
Show. Yeah, I'd done that 20 times.
You had tested 20 times.
20 times.
Before you got,
before I got something.
Last Man Standing.
No, before I got another show, but before I had tested 20 times before that happened.
Is that normal?
No.
There's no way that's normal.
That's not a good percentage.
So you started thinking like, wow, like I'm a choke artist. Like I choke at when the stakes are high, I choke.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's really – it's crazy because, like, there'll be times when I definitely shit the bed. You know, you walk in and it's not conducive to anything you would do on set at all. Like, you rehearse and you are working with other actors and you are, like, you're in a set. Like, this is – imagine going into, like, a auditorium at a high school. Like, one of those was a 500-person seat theater and you're just – doing this scene with a casting director who's not good at acting, and they're just like, cool, make sure you bring it on the first thing. So sometimes you choke and sometimes you kill it and they just don't go with you.
Yeah.
And so you start to think like, oh shit, maybe this really isn't for me. I don't know if I can take that over and over and over again. It's just so arbitrary.
Did you ever think that like there were more politics involved than that? Like they were telling you no because of your brother or your family or your...
I don't know. I mean, I had one test.
Now you're
where,
thinking about it, now that I said that.
Yeah. No,
like,
I mean,
I never thought of it, but now I am.
There's definitely something to. I don't think the like my brothers or anything like
no,
that.
No, I know, but maybe like you never know at that point. Your brothers are both in the industry, and your sister's in the industry, and so that's where my head would go. Like someone screwed up somewhere and pissed someone off, and they were in that room, and they're a decision maker, and now I'm done.
I mean, yeah, I don't think that happened necessarily with me, but I do know that like politically, I had one test where I went in and I was killing it every single time. I was so on, and I found out later that they had the guy come in and trying to do what I was doing, but they liked his look more. So they were basically like, can you do it more like kind of like this? Like short of showing them my tape, like giving him line readings and the things that I was doing.
How would you know that?
So the casting director
had an
who
inside
really
inside man?
Yeah, the casting director who really liked me
was like
who I'd become friends with over the years, just like sort of wrote a personal email and was just like, yo, I can't. That was so wild what just happened. I don't want to bum you out even more, but this is kind of what happened. And so I was like, all right, you know what? Maybe it's not for me. And then the one time that I did the show Greek for a couple of years before I got Last Man Standing, which was like a show about college kids. And I had auditioned for them a couple of times and I actually tested for that for a different role and ended up not getting it. And so they wanted me to come back in to read again. And I just flat out was like, no, I won't do that. And they said, please, will you come in? I said, no, absolutely, I won't do it.
You're like, no, I won't do it. I never went to college.
Yeah, I can't.
So I don't know how to connect
with this character. No, and I just said no. I said no 4 or 5 times, and then they just offered it to me.
It's like the girl, man.
Yeah,
so you played hard to get.
Yeah.
Sometimes it comes back around.
Yeah, swings back.
So you should just say no to everything.
Basically, yeah.
So now, okay, so how does it work now? When did your sister start acting?
She started acting around the same time I did, maybe a couple years later. Like,
so it was just like, you know what, at that
like,
point.
Yeah, like you turn 16 and it's like, oh, you just start acting. Like
it's
you get your card
season.
And it's chill. Yeah, and she did the same thing. Like she did a couple pilots when she was younger, nothing really hit, and would, for years was just kind of not working.
Yeah.
And then, you know, through something started doing The Walking Dead, and she's been doing it for, this is her fourth season now?
Yeah.
Her fourth season, I think.
So, okay, I have to know, though. There has to be some level of competition. I know you guys are like a tight-knit family and very supportive of each other, but yeah. Is there not something there where you're like, oh, like that person's just kind of killing it and I'm kind of not right now? And
no, definitely not. I mean, Danny's 10 years older than me and Chris is 6, and Chris and I look nothing alike. And Alana, obviously, she looks like me, but she has boobs. So it doesn't overlap at all, generally. I mean, maybe in a couple
of years.
Of course
you're not going for the same roles necessarily. I'm just talking about competition as in like, oh man, like I'm not doing as well as this other person I wish I was. Have you ever felt like that?
I think that's a natural thing across anything, but it's not necessarily with them, weirdly enough. It's with other people, like other actors my age. You know, you see
faces that you're going up against.
Yeah, or you see, you know, you watch Breaking Bad, or, you know, you watch, like, I don't know if you saw that movie recently, Hell or High Water with Jeff Bridges.
No, I didn't see it.
Yeah, like, so you just see these movies or these projects getting made, and you're like, fuck, like, I wish I could have been a part of that. Because I think, especially for me, doing anything for as long as I've been doing this show, it's like you can start to feel a little stagnated. Like it loses its luster unless, you know, you're doing something like Game of Thrones. Like that's a perfect example. I look at Kit Harington. I'm like, fuck, God. Ugh.
Why am I not British and really good looking?
Yeah. Like, damn.
What's your favorite part about New York?
I like...
Besides the girls.
Besides the girls? Yeah, I mean, they're so tall here. It's wonderful. It's great.
You like a tall girl?
Yeah. I don't discriminate.
For the record, I didn't say call girl.
Yeah.
I said tall girl.
Tall call girl, yeah.
Yeah. So you like them tall?
I like them tall or short, for that matter.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't...
That's like... Now you're reading your horoscope.
Yeah, I don't discriminate.
You will meet a tall girl or... Maybe even a short girl.
Short girl, or maybe somewhere in between.
Yeah.
My favorite part of New York is, for me, seeing my friends here, but also walking around, it feels like people are always doing shit. Like, I'll call or text you at 10:30. I'm like, yo, let's go grab a beer. And you're like, I'm still working. Like, like you know, like LA, like a busy day is...
Like
I had a meeting. And like I went to Earth Cafe and I'm going to go to Equinox and I'm exhausted. And
what a long day it's been.
Like super crazy. But it's weird. I mean, LA makes you. I love LA. Don't get me wrong. There was a time in the last couple of years where I was diehard about moving back here. Like, I'm going to be back
make
in the city
happen,
and make it happen. And then the show just kind of kept going. So I could never really have the chance to move out here for any length of time. And now that my sister's got a daughter and my brother's got a daughter and my family's out there. So I love it. And the weather is really nice, but it has made me soft, dude. I am like a puss when it comes out here and drops below 60 degrees and cold. I'm like, oh God, it's miserable. Like I've become a little bitch.
Yeah. No, I get that. I can see it.
Yeah.
Cause I was going to say something about that.
You're looking a little soft.
Yeah. Like beforehand.
Yeah.
But then I just didn't want to. Turn you off.
Yeah. It's nice out there, man. We got like avocados and stuff and the beach.
And like coffee shops where people just like live.
Everywhere. Like there's so many pitches going on. Like,
yeah, just
people writing and like pitching. Like,
a lot of ideas. Not a ton of...
No one's actually doing anything.
Yeah,
but like...
But they like to talk about doing stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost more important that you talk about it. It's like if you talk about it, it's better than doing it. Because if you do it, you could fail. But by talking about it.
That's really interesting. Do you actually feel like that?
Yeah, sometimes. Absolutely.
Do you feel like that's the consensus of like the world around you? That people are like, well, I can talk about stuff a lot, and that is better than actually doing it because it allows me to not fail.
Yes. I think that's the general...
Does that annoy you?
...state of affairs. Well, it would annoy me if I didn't also do it myself sometimes. You know? I mean, I think that it's... You were like, I'm going to get in shape or I'm going to fucking do this or that, you know, and people talk about it because it makes them feel good and it sounds nice and you want to tell people that, you know, sort of justify that you're worth whatever that thing is, you know, but the people that, like what I was saying earlier, the people that are successful are the people that just do and they stay around and they, you know, they work hard at that thing. And I think that it's, I wish I had, I know some people are just really good at that and I'm not the best, not the worst, but I wish I was better at just executing things.
Who do you feel like that you've witnessed that you know or that you don't know that is really good at doing that?
I would say my brothers are really good at getting things done.
You plural? Know?
Yeah.
Your brothers plural?
Yeah. Like they wanted to start investing their money. So they just started buying real estate. And Chris learned about all of the things that it takes to be successful in that and has like turned it into like a really great source of income. It's amazing. And like probably the best person I know who's good at that is Ashton. Here's a dude.
Kutcher.
Yeah, here's a dude from Iowa who like gets discovered in Iowa for a mall and then goes to New York and is a model and then flies to LA and books a TV show. And then instead of just being like good looking dude on a TV show and doing movies and whatever, he wants to learn about tech and investing and all that sort of stuff. And now he runs a massive fund and like he does acting for fun. It's like not his primary source of income at all anymore. And he's turned it into a giant thing that's invested in like Skype and Uber and all of this stuff.
So what do you learn from him? Because how you have a relationship with him from a young age.
Yeah.
So you've seen him kind of progress and transform into this.
Yeah.
So what have you learned actually from him on like a one-on-one basis?
That it might sound super cliche, but that hard work generally always pays itself off. Like I have never ever met someone who, you know, like if you wanted to lose weight, who was like, I went to the gym every day for 6 months and I ate really clean and I stopped smoking and was like, oh, wow, you haven't lost any weight or you look the same or you got more fat. You're like, no, you're probably in great shape. Or a guy who was like, yeah, I didn't go out for 6 months and I wrote every day and I was in class or whatever the thing is that you want to do. And someone who just like kind of puts their head down and works super diligently and hard for an extended period of time, that has always paid off. And for him, he was just like, I just started doing that. I would read and I'd talk to people and I'd go up to Silicon Valley and I would just, and you know, he's like, I had access, so it was a lot easier and it helped. But there's a lot of people with access who don't necessarily use that. So, you know, I wish that I was better at that, like actually just really putting my head down. But, you know, like, come to New York and see my friends.
You gotta hang out.
Yeah, like you know, it's hard. You like that's also because it can drive you fucking crazy. Like,
yeah.
You know, not seeing people for an extended period of time or being that hermit and you lose friends and whatever, it's like, it can suck. It can be isolating.
If you weren't acting, what would you be doing?
I'd be writing or directing.
So something still in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, something creative. I don't see myself like being a visual artist or anything like that. But yeah, something having to do with that. What about you?
If what?
If you weren't a restaurateur and podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm already hitting both,
conglomerate,
both sides.
Yeah.
So if I weren't doing either of these, I don't know. I probably would escape somewhere and like, I always like fantasize about like living
in the woods.
Yeah, not in the woods, but like in a remote area where I can,
like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, where I can like be someone else. And I know that's always like what people say. And,
yeah.
Like, but it would really only last for like a little while that I would actually enjoy that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you think you'll live in New York the rest of your life?
I think I'll always have a place to come back to here. Yeah. If I do go somewhere else, I'll always kind of keep my foot planted here.
Right.
One foot at least.
Yeah.
It's been too good to me. I'm way too ingrained in it to be able to really, you know, carry out that fantasy of mine to move away.
Like a ranch somewhere in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Just like.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, like we have friends in Nashville that like kind of just That's it. And it's pretty nice. And obviously there's like more like happening over there than in rural area. But like at least it seems very I guess, more private.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird thing. We're like in such a weird time now, especially like the access to things has never been easier. Like you can literally, you can go anywhere. There's not any place that hasn't been discovered or seen, or you can see like whatever you want with Facebook and Instagram and like all that. You know what I mean? Like you can kind
Insta?
Of Insta. I got off the Insta actually.
Come on.
Yeah.
When?
Like 2 weeks ago.
But you had two accounts, right?
Yeah, I had one for like, you know,
potential suitors.
Yeah, for DMs. No, I had
one was just for DMs.
One was like for the homies.
It was all like close up selfies.
Yeah, super close. Okay, I'm into extreme. I mean, and if there's like anyone listening, I'm into like extreme close up DMs. So,
like, not anymore though.
Yeah, not anymore. Yeah, I had one of those for.
One was
like
for
public
friends.
Stuff, and like one was for the homies, like where I could just sort of post whatever I wanted and talk shit, and you know, like, and post pictures of my family or whatever, and not have to get weird fans of other things like hitting up all the time.
Okay,
and then
so you got rid of both accounts.
Yeah, I just deleted it off my phone.
Why?
I think they're still there. I just deleted it off my phone.
Why?
I don't know. I noticed that I was. Like, I had this weird thing one day on set because we had a lot of downtime on set. And so I would open it and then I would close it. And like 10 seconds later, I reached for it again. And like, oh, like out of compulsion.
By the way, the Instagram people are counting on that exact behavior to be happening.
Fully. Not even a question. It's crazy addictive. Like, it's insane. I've never had like Facebook or Twitter. So that was the only thing that I sort of used. And it was cool because I could see pictures of like my nieces or my sis or like
me
what
yeah.
you're doing yeah like that kind of stuff, like when you DM me nudes, like I could get them without having like someone checks my phone. It was
right.
Fine.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
I usually send them to you in the like with the postal service though.
Yeah, exactly, which is tight. Like you're old school about it, which
yeah.
is
because I'm into the Polaroids.
Yeah, yeah, you really are. You got a like a Buffalo Bill situation going on. That's really sick. Yeah, so I don't know.
Silence of the Lambs reference.
In case, yeah. Cue Lazarus, Goodbye Horses. It's a great song. If you don't know it, I recommend. It's Will's favorite.
One of them.
Yeah. And I don't know, I just was like, you know what? I'll just delete it. Not as like a.
Just see if you turn.
Yeah,
into,
like.
See if you turn into a giraffe or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, like a pumpkin or like
yeah.
if something like really goes wrong. And I was like, oh, I'll probably, you know, I'll just delete it for a couple days or whatever and see if. And then it's kind of just been. Awesome. Like, I don't think I'll be off it forever or anything like that. I just was like, oh, I'll just stop using it. And I feel pretty great. It's
but
pretty
what
awesome.
About what about when you're in New York and you're seeing like one of these tall glasses of water?
Yeah.
And you want to just be like, I wonder like what else she looks like. I wonder like if there's like photos that would like show her in a different light maybe.
Yeah.
You don't reach for it. And like, I just want to look that up really quick.
Yeah. I also would like to maybe get in touch with that person or.
Right. So what do you do?
So I just don't anymore.
DM handcuffed.
Yeah. I'm done.
Wow. Well, yeah. I'm proud of you. It's
Thanks.
A big moment in your life.
I don't know if that'll continue.
You're going to call
but...
me tomorrow morning and be like, hey, this tall glass of water walked past me last night at the club.
Yeah.
And I
she
just
gave
had
me her
to.
Instagram.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, to. I'd re-download it and DM her.
Yeah. Like, it couldn't download fast enough.
Oh, man. Like, the internet, they don't have fiber in New York yet, but I needed yeah. it really badly last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was at Oak, and it
You're
was
like, hey, baby, let yeah. me go grab some fiber quickly, and I'll be back.
Yeah. So oh, the happy endings. And it's just no service there.
So I can just go deeper down the rabbit hole of your photos.
Yeah. God, I love it. So great.
Thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was episode 4 with Jordan Masterson. Thanks for listening. We've been doing some fun stuff this week here at Will. We've had cameramen and photographers up here. We're basically making sure that you guys have as much content as possible for all the shows on the network, including the drop-in. We are going to be taping and shooting photos, and you can find all of this very soon on our website. We'll make sure to let you know about it. Until then, check us out next week, Thursday, for a new episode of The Drop-In. And if you haven't checked out the rest of the shows on the network, go to iTunes.com/atwill and check them out. The other thing is, if you like the show, leave a nice review and make sure to subscribe to The Drop-In so you never miss an episode. See you soon.